Grace and peace are yours from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text that we have chosen to meditate upon today as we recognize God's gift of graces and blessings upon our sister, Miss Marilyn, is the epistle reading for today, Romans chapter 4, read far better than I could do it, but here's a verse in the middle. That is why it was credited to him as righteousness. This is the word of our Lord. My dear friends, family, especially you, Miss Marilyn, it's only four words, but I tell you what, the way you put those words together makes all the difference. What are you doing? Change the inflection around, and you're going to have a parent coming around the corner on a three-year-old. What are you doing? That three-year-old grows into a 15-year-old. And the same parent now says, what are you doing? You, perhaps, thinking about it for just a little bit and pondering the active retirement from here, but moving on to another stage, are thinking, Miss Marilyn, what are you doing? The inflection makes all the difference in the world, doesn't it? And each situation can bring a slightly different inflection. I don't have to ask the question. I have no idea what she's doing. But I do know that whatever it is, it's carried out, connected uniquely to another small group of words. The first three words in our text. Against all hope. Now, on first reflection, that sounds rather negative, right? Against all hope, the man stayed in his house as the Mississippi River rose. Against all hope, a seminarian graduates from the seminary and moves down to Texas. Against all hope, Abraham left a city where he was comfortable beyond belief. Set up, you might say, and wandered a path that was never really clearly laid out for him. Against all hope, in some respect, Miss Marilyn's life mirrors Abraham's. But the hope that the human world grabs onto can truly be reflected in against all hope. It's negative. In fact, it's not there. But that's not the hope that Miss Marilyn has hung on to all these years. But rather, for Miss Marilyn, against all hope is how she has reflected her life in front of you. Because she has, through her life and her actions, giving all the glory to God, as Abraham did, she has shown you that it's not about me. It's always about him. In him I trust. So against all human hope, but completely connected in the hope that is in Jesus. Think about comparing her life to Abraham's for a little bit. Remember Abraham from the Old Testament? He was not a poor man. Lived in a nice city of Ur. Probably part of the place of the world that was first where were people gathered. And yet one day when he was about 75 years old, God came to him and said, I got a plan for you, but I'm not going to reveal it. So start walking. And Abraham walked. for a while, for months. And he got to a place where he ran into some other relatives, and God said, no, this is not where I want you to be. I want you to go even further. And about when things, at least this is the way I envision it, about when things got really, really bleak, when the landscape was not so inviting, when they were literally in the middle of nowhere, then God came to Abraham and said, this is where I want you. And he solidified it with three wonderful promises. He said, Abraham, look around. Everything that you see is going to belong to you and your descendants. Oh yeah, by the way, you and Sarah, no kids? Don't worry. Look up. See all those stars? You can't count them. Your descendants are going to be more numerous than those stars. And most importantly, from one bright, shining star of a descendant, Abraham, I'm going to bless the whole world through you. And we read in Genesis chapter 12, verse 6, the same words that I reread to start this sermon. It was credited to him as righteousness, because Abraham grabbed onto those promises and he held them tight. And by the way, they were fairly easy, weren't they? Until you remember that Abraham never put a single shekel down for any piece of land except for a burial plot. That's thinking ahead. And that for over 20 years, Abraham and his wife, as the text reminds us, were there in this new land, looking every night up at millions and millions of stars, and they had no children. Abraham was 80 plus. Sarah was 70 plus. Way beyond what normal childbirth is thought of. And yet, what does the text tell us? Abraham continued to not waver in holding on against all hope to that promise that somehow down the way, God was going to deliver a child. And yet, even though Abraham held on, he did falter from time to time. Never abandoned the faith, never walked away, never turned his back to God, but he struggled. Went down to Egypt when there was a little bit of a lack of food. And the Pharaoh in Egypt, the king of Egypt, had an idea that he liked to collect women. He looked at Sarah and said, well, I'd like to have that woman in my collection. And Abraham said, well, she's not my wife, she's my sister. Whoops. And by the way, that happened twice in Abraham's life. But yet, Paul reminds us that even with those bumps in the road, Abraham, against all hope, clung to that simple faith that God could deliver promises. Yeah, Miss Marilyn's like Abraham. Because sometime earlier in her life, before I even knew her, God says, it's time for you to get up and go. And she left some very friendly confines in northern central Wisconsin to travel a bit to far exotic locations like Europe and Wyoming. And all the time, she never walked alone. And I'm sure that there were some friends who saw all this and probably thought and maybe even said, Miss Marilyn, what are you doing? And I know personally that she may have even asked that of herself about 17 years ago, when by the grace of God, she opened up her house to me. But she didn't know what kind of an idiot I was. You see, my daughter had a heart condition. We were living, my wife and I and family, in Mexico City, and the best place for my daughter to get some medical attention was here at Texas Children. And we were looking at a prospect of weeks, which turned into months. And through a larger email tray, and someday I'm going to go back and figure out how it all came about. Miss Marilyn sent me an email and said, well, I'm not in my house often, so you can come. Here's a key, given to Juan Garcia, and here's the code for the security. And this is where I turned into an idiot. Because we got, after traveling here all day, we got to her house. Juan Garcia dropped us off. We got in. Luggage is strewn everywhere. Kids are tired. My wife is going off to bed, and what do? I set the alarm with me in the house. Punched it in and took one step. And guess what happened? The motion detector went off. I run over, try to punch it. It's not soon enough. Suddenly the phone rings. The local constable. And if Miss Marilyn would have been around, she would have said the unique password and nothing would have happened. I did not know the password. So very shortly later, that constable on the phone became a constable face to face. And now it's 11:30. And he looks at us, he looks at our tired children, he looks at the luggage spread around, and he's got to be thinking, I don't know this lady, but what is she doing? And then I have to get on the phone. And I have to call to the East Coast and wake her up and say, can you give me the other word? What was she doing? You know the answer. Because you have seen that very same attitude amongst you for a long period of your religious life here. She was recognizing that everything she had, all of the gifts that she had been given, all of the things that she was doing was to give glory to God, not to herself. And so she was open, just like Abraham, trusting in what God has given. This is what Paul says, and it applies so well to her as it did to Abraham and does really to all of us. Paul writes, yet he, Abraham, or she, did not waver through unbelief regarding the promises of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him, Abraham, to her, Marilyn, to all of us as righteousness. Did you catch the basis of that reality? It wasn't some earthly accomplishment, but rather it was the simple faith that God had given to her. A simple faith that was given to her very early on in a country church in the middle of a city when her parents brought her up to a baptismal font not unlike this, and the word of the triune God connected with water made her a child of God. It was a faith that was nourished through her father. I never got to know her father, but I've heard many stories. Who quietly, and yet in strength, purposed her to serve the Lord. It's a faith that was nourished in her through her mother. She I did get to know, because I had the privilege of vicaring in that congregation a few years ago. Who also reminded Marilyn day in and day out, it's not about you, it's about the Lord. And it's a faith that she carried with her through secular endeavors and then even later through spiritual endeavors. Because in the end, about 12 to 15 years ago, I was the one, I never said it, but I was the one saying, Miss Marilyn, what are you doing? You're leaving Texas to go to New Ulm in the winter. Are you nuts? And on top of it, to learn something that by the grace of God you already know. And yet God walked with her then, as he had walked with her before and continues to walk with her. Because that faith which God nurtured and nourished in her through the Word was a faith that was and is credited to her as righteousness. Not her own, but rather the Lord's perfect righteousness. And that is why for years she has been able to sit with many of you in your homes here at church to help you see the difficulties that happen because of sin, but the forgiveness that is there because of Christ. His life, his death, his resurrections, his merits. And all because that faith nourished in her, she walks. And it's a faith that continues to take her on. Because I admit, I don't know what she's doing next. And if you ask her later, she doesn't know either. The Lord may have a variety of things in surprise for her. It's just waiting in storage. But one thing is true. She will continue to walk with the Lord because that's where her strength is found. I'll give you a little insight. The Spanish word for hope is translated to wait. In the end, that's what we're all doing, right? We're just waiting. It's not a wait that is unknown, like the wait that happens when we go down to the local five and dime, pay a buck and get a scratch-off ticket and scratch it. Oh, I'm waiting! Nope. But this is a wait that is founded in reality. This is a waiting for something that has already been secured for her and for all of us because of our Savior Christ. And Paul so beautifully wraps that all up in the very last verse of our text. Because he says, he, that is Jesus, was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. In that one single verse, we have the entire package of her faith, of my faith, of all of our faith. Because it's not about us. It's not about our accomplishments. It's not about our good deeds. It's not about our appearance or reputation. It's about Christ, who died to pay the guilt, the ransom, and the punishment for my sins, but who was raised again so that I could be declared not guilty. And that's what we hope. Against all hope is when we trust in ourselves. And Miss Marilyn, you and I would have gotten nowhere if we just trust in ourselves. But against all waiting, when we trust in our Lord, well, then we can join together in our favorite hymn. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee, not me. Amen. Please stand. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all of our human understanding, may that peace guard and keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus until he comes to gather all those who have been credited faith is righteousness.